My big, beautiful reflecting pool. Such a work of art. My big, beautiful reflecting pool. Oh, I know art. The art of art. Nobody knows art like I know art. I invented art. That beautiful green. So lovely. So talented. All that beautiful algae. So much algae. So slimy, so scummy. I invented slime. And no one knows scum better than I know scum. Did you know my reflecting pool is bigger than Mount Everest? Much, much bigger. I'm always Wait, what's that? Is that... Oh, it's my big, beautiful nanobubble technology. Oh, nobody knows nanobubble technology like I do. Obamacrats are too stupid to know nanobubble technology like I know nanobubble technology, which I invented. But I said, it's simple, so simple. Nanobubblers make America scummy again. And they said, Trump, you're a scummy genius. No one knows scum like I know scum. I invented scum. Scum's not cheap, of course. Runs into the millions and millions of dollars. But it's worth it. So worth it. Certainly worth it to me. As I get huge kickbacks from the... You see that? What is that? Is that you, Giuliani? Now, don't bother me right now, Rudy. I'm reflecting at my big, beautiful reflecting pool. Thank me very bigly for being the... Holy Antifa! What is that thing? An illegal alien? It's dark green, so it clearly must be here to commit crimes. Terrible, terrible crimes. Likely some sort of Afro-Cajun, or maybe a Mexican-Canadian. Illegal aliens are a disgrace to our country. With their dark green skin, all those crimes, all those emails, and they're eating our pets. Yes, they're eating the cats, and they're eating the dogs. Thanks, Obama. Benghazi. What they're Biden doing with hoax, all the witch hunt, with the... Hey, put me down. Benghazi. Ow, ow, that hurts. You illegal moron, put me... Oh, no, not the hair. Oh, you're a fake monster. Cats and dogs, cats and dogs. Where is Jeffrey Epstein when you need him? Oh, the humanity. What are you doing? Hey, I can't get wet. My makeup, my fake ear blood, it'll run. Melania, Baron, help. Call Ivanka. She's hot. Yeah, she's hot. Oh, she'll know what to do. Put me down. The reflecting pool is for reflecting, not drowning. Reflecting. Whatever the other one's name is.
Fuse box.
Good riddance, Diaper Don, you fat orange fascist. Folks, this is Fusebox 280, Schmuck and Cover-Up. And you are in way over your head.
Indeed. Underwater and flailing fast, my friend, right along with the rest of the country. But welcome in, friends, to indeed this, the 280th edition of Fusebox, revealingly titled Schmuck and Cover-Up. A show title that is self-evident, if I do say so myself. I dare say, I says to myself, I say.
Yeah, I second and ninth that motion, and I'll raise you a slush fund.
I'm your painting it all blue so it will peel off later host, Mark Rose, and over there, a man who is the truest of blue, the Archbishop of Amplitude, the Captain of Crossfade, Milt Keynes, everybody.
Thank you kindly, and yeah, it's been another couple of tough weeks for the commander and thief. Know what I mean?
Frankly, a glorious couple of weeks on a bunch of legal and social levels, but we'll get into that soon enough. But first, I want to mention a couple of things at the top here that are clearly worth mentioning.
Well, since it ain't going to mention itself, bring it.
Consider it brought, Mr. Keynes. Friends, longtime vocal contributor and friend of the show, Jody Lorimer, just had her wonderful book released and were as thrilled as Japanese pocket squirrels at a peanut butter festival to announce... Indeed, as I was saying, we are delighted as donuts to announce that Jody's book, The Labyrinth of Melusine, is officially out and available everywhere books are sold. And we'll have a link in the show notes as well to help you buy your own copy of her amazing book.
A long time coming, yeah? Yes,
For sure. I believe Jody's been working on The Labyrinth of Melusine on and off for 3 decades or more.
Holy carp! Now, that's a commitment. So, what's it about?
The Labyrinth of Melusine is a story of love, betrayal, and redemption, as the book trailer says. But it's also just a whole lot of fun, too. So, please, do check it out, friends. And Jody and I are also working on developing an audio series of this story as well, starting with a pilot episode. So, stay tuned for that.
My tune is stayed.
And speaking of things rising up out of the depths...
Wait, we're speaking of things rising up out of the depths?
We were. Well, sort of. Anyway, one other note that I want to mention, and perhaps you've actually seen the first promo for this on one of our socials, the wonderful folks at Grindhouse Releasing. They, in case you were not aware, are producers and distributors of some classic Grindhouse fare. Check out the link to them in the show description as well. But these folks are going to be doing... That's right. A road show.
Is it grimy with a gash of gory?
You know, I'm sure it'll have all the tattered edges and popping soundtracks that we know and love, but actually, in truth, these folks are rolling out pristine prints of some of the most infamous films in the genre and will be, as I say, taking it to the streets this summer. They've resurrected and restored a 4K print of the notorious 1980 Gut Muncher, Cannibal Holocaust, which was just screened here in Portland, and they plan several more showings of different films in the month of July in our fair city, and may also be coming to a city near you. I know they'll be in New York, Virginia, and Washington, D.C.
D.C., huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well... They really need a dose of Grindhouse there, bro, to go along with that skanky swamp joke of a reflecting pool Trump ruined.
Indeed, they can, and yes, he did.
Oh, man. Trump's a turd weasel. Oh, I'm sorry, little bros. My bad, really. Nothing personal, really.
Also, the Grindhouse Roadshow will make stops in Ohio, Texas, Pennsylvania, Iowa, Toronto, Boston, Seattle, New Mexico. Well, the list just goes on and on. And it's throughout the whole summer. So check out the specific cities, as there are many within each state on their website at grindhousereleasing.com. And as per our usual, a handy-dandy link is in the description of this very program for your dining and dancing pleasure. We'll update promos as well for the Portland area here, too. So if you live here, we'll definitely keep you posted. Check out our social media on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube to get the very latest info.
disgusting. Disgraceful. The radical left Antifa-crats are trying once again to go after Trump, but I won't let them. Oh, no, no. I'm too smart for them. I'm the smartest president in history. I'll have ICE deport them all to Bayonne, New Jersey. Yeah. Wait a minute. No. New Jersey's not far enough. Where is Benghazi, anyway? Oh, or Utah. Yeah, Utah. I mean, is Utah still a country? Maybe I should...
Uh-oh. Well, that doesn't sound good.
Nope. And it's music to my ears, bro.
And on that swamp-suffocating note, friends, we shall return with more fun and or frivolity, as well as another offering from the glorious Grindhouse guru, him very own original self, Mr. 42nd Street Pete, right after this.
What about cannibals? Will there be a bunch of cannibals? I mean... there's gonna be a bunch of cannibals, right?
Oh, indeed there will be, Mr. Keynes. Indeed there will be.
You know, suddenly, I could really go for a cheeseburger. Huh. Weird.
Jimmy, what are you eating?
Big news, friends! Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine is back with a vengeance!
Over 140 pages of deliriously demented and historically accurate info on this wondrously whacked period of cinema. This issue features an article by Pete Chiarella on three blaxploitation films that no one ever talks about. And he tells you why. And along that same topic, Bill Karschmidt discusses two of the genre's finest offerings ever produced. Then, John Satzer lifts the creaking lid on another obscurity, Impulse, from 1974, starring William Shatner as a maniacal killer con man. Yeah, not to be missed. And there's just so much more. Head on over to 42ndStreetPete.net and pick up a copy. This one is bursting at the seams with goodness, so get them while they're still in stock. That's 42ndStreetPete.net.
The show for everybody, but not everybody will like it. TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Hello. I'm here to bring you the good news.
Well, it's been about a minute, but there actually have been some remarkably good things coming about in recent days, particularly of the legal victorious kind.
Yep, and we can start with this. Trump's handpicked board of lunatics vandalized, renamed the Kennedy Center after him, but thank dog. A federal judge ruled they never had the power to do it. So work crews climbed scaffolding late in the dark of the night and ripped Trump's stupid name off the damn building.
And apparently, leaving a tarp over the now-removed name so as to not offend the insecure Cheeto-in-Chief. But protesters are using the tarps to project photos of Trump being Trump and doing things like palling around with friend and fellow pedophile Jeffrey Epstein.
Love it.
But meanwhile, down in Georgia, Republicans reversed course and declared that they would not use a special session to draw new maps for the upcoming election. This, of course, was a major rebuke to both Republican Governor Brian Kemp and Donald Trump. And it happened because protesters and Democratic lawmakers organized by directing telephone calls to Kemp himself and by holding a huge protest in the State House right before the session started.
Yeah, take your red Sharpies and pound sand, you racist MAGA losers.
And even the New York Times decided that it was finally time, after 10 years, to acknowledge the existence of the resistance. They published an op-ed this week entitled, "The State of American Resistance is Stronger Than You Think." Now, it doesn't tell the whole story, but in fact, it's fairly limited in that department, but it does acknowledge the vast anti-fascist efforts taking place across the country while even offering tip for how citizens can get involved.
Resist!
And as you might recall, on his first day in office after re-election, Trump signed an order blocking new wind power projects across the country. That move, of course, put thousands of jobs and billions of dollars at risk, as well as the cheap, clean power that helps lower electricity costs. 18 states refused to bend and took the Trump regime to court and won when a federal judge threw out the freeze, declaring the attempted block illegal. The Trump regime appealed, of course, but then quietly gave up.
Typical. Appeal, then hide and cower when the word discovery is mentioned. The grand old Reich hates the truth, bro. Just hates it.
So, on June 15th, the court made it official. The attempted wind power freeze by Trump was dead. And the projects, enough to power more than a million homes, by the way, could finally move ahead. Delaware Attorney General Kathy Jennings called it, quote, a win for the rule of law.
Aw, man.
And one more ironic thing as it applies to the now pond scum green reflecting pool. The attempted repair was done by a firm owned by the J.J. Cafaro Investment Trust, led, of course, by Trump donor John J. Cafaro, whose wife, by the way, chaired the 2017 International Red Cross Ball at Mar-a-Lago. The Cafaros live near Mar-a-Lago in a mansion listed as the water treatment company's address in Florida's corporate records. And I kid you not, the name of the firm? Greenwater Services.
For the love of Benghazi, I gotta get out of this pool, even though it's the best pool. No one knows pools like I do. But the water, it's just so, why is it putrid green? And why does it smell like my underwear in July? Where's the beautiful blue? The blue like the one on the flag. Make American water great again, I say. Witch hunt! Benghazi! Thanks, Obama! I blame the Democrats. It's Biden's fault. They're trying to sabotage my presidency. They won't get away with this. I'll deport them all. Homan? Where's Tom Homan? Where's my border czar? Homan, round everyone up and ship them off to some shithole country. Like Utah. Someone get Homan on the phone. Homan! Wait. Is Christine Nome still around? I mean, that... No! Get Christine! Oh, no! Wait, no!
Nope.
Just never gets old.
Oh, and speaking of fake gold-plated excrement, Trump Mobile finally shipped out the much-ballyhooed T1, a $499 gold-colored phone that they've been promising for nearly a year. They called it a, quote, American-made answer to Apple and Samsung. The repair experts at iFixit took one apart to see if that was true.
Oh, let me guess. Hamster-powered, right?
Almost, Mr. Gates. Inside this $500 scam phone was a two-year-old phone built in China. The exact same telephone already sitting on store shelves. Just painted gold.
Ooh, fake gold, huh? So it's a classy scam.
The marketing claims were, of course, fake, too. The company bragged about receiving 600,000 orders. The real number, which was exposed in a data breach, was actually 30,000, not 600,000. Then there's the American flag fiasco, the one stamped on the back of these crappy phones with 11 stripes instead of 13.
Well, maybe Orange Hitler replaced Hawaii and Alaska with Greenland? Or Canada? Maybe he forgot about Utah?
Everything about Trump, this lying liar that lies, is phony.
Dude, I'm just wondering how the feckin' huck 30,000 people could be so stupid that they'd actually shell out $500 for a 2-year-old phone spray-painted gold and made in China. This country's doomed. Seriously.
Wait. I know. I'll call for help using my fabulous new Trump mobile phone. A great phone. The best phone. Solid gold. Very, very shiny. Very classy. Made in America by Americans who live in America. Let me see. Who should I call? I'll call Ghislaine Maxwell. Yes, wait, I can't call her. Ivanka. She's really hot. I would so date her if she weren't my daughter. Who am I kidding? I'd date her anyway. Oh, God, so hot. Wait, the Secret Service. Yes. They're Americans. They'll know what to do. They're not hot, but they love Trump. Yeah, the Secret Service. Okay, Secret Service. Hello? Hello, it's Trump, the most popular president in history. Help! I'm trapped in my big, beautiful reflective pond and... Hey, have you noticed that terrible, terrible smell? Hello? Hello? I'm trapped. Trapped, I say. Stinky green goo is in my hair. My beautiful hair. And it smells so bad. Why does it smell? The reflective... Are you there? Can you smell me? Hello? Why does this really expensive fake solid gold phone made in China not work? Why? Hello? Hello? Hey, what the... Are you there? Hello? Answer me right now! Oh, no, not you again. Somebody get Christy Gnome. Get that dirty little whore Lauren Boebert. Hurry! Get Boebert.
I wonder if he was able to leave a message at the tone. Or, hey, maybe those fake gold burner phones of his have call waiting?
Call waiting? Sure, but it's in Chinese since, you know, it's a plastic phone made in China and spray-painted gold with Krylon.
Yep, another bargain basement piece of crap courtesy of another piece of crap named Donald Trump.
Alrighty, friends, to close out our festivities on this one, we have another grimy and gooey offering from 42nd Street Pete on his Grindhouse Minute. This one is a rare combo of the Emmanuel series starring Laura Gemser and cannibals. Lots and lots of cannibals.
So many cannibals, so little time.
And now it's time for another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
Let me take you back now, another Grindhouse moment that's sort of frozen in time. A 1977 film that played at the Liberty Theater, where most cannibal films played, which was released as Trap Them and Kill Them, But the real name was Emmanuel and the Last Cannibal, starring Laura Gemser, Gabriel Tinte, Donald O'Brien, a.k.a. Dr. Butcher, and some other people. Now, this one excludes the animal cruelty that we usually found in other films like Cannibal Holocaust, Make Them Die Slowly, Eaten Alive, and things like that. Instead, Joe D'Amato, the director, replaces them with semi-hardcore sex scenes. Of course, Laura Gemser and Gabriel Tinte were married, so their on-screen sex scenes were really hot. Another one was where they found Donald O'Brien and his wife playing the safari couple who were really out for diamonds that wound up in a Piper plane that crashed in the jungle. There's also something going on with his wife and the black guide, which they show a sex scene, which is pretty steamy with that. So once they get the diamonds and stuff, they are attacked by the cannibals. There's a nun that's grabbed and eaten off camera. Then they find what's left of her later on the next day. All of them are captured except Emmanuel and the Gabriel Tinte character. And they basically take the Donald O'Brien character and cut him in half in a really cheesy optical scene, which used a mirror. His wife is gutted and eaten, and they're just about to do a number on the one remaining chick when they are distracted by a bunch of fireworks set off by Tinte and Laura Gemser. Laura Gemser comes out of the water with a cannibal sign, whatever they use, plant ink or something, put on her abdomen, and the cannibals think she's a queen or something like that. So, yeah, it's confusing. Yeah, it's pretty messed up. But, hey, anything but Laura Gemser, it's worth watching. And, of course, there's a happy ending as Gabriel Tinte and Laura Gemser and the one girl actually survive the film, where most of these films, hardly anybody survives.
Stay safe. We'll catch you on the flip side.
This has been another Grindhouse Minute with 42nd Street Pete.
Yeah, so that one right there?
Yeah?
Yeah, that one right there is one of those flicks where you're not sure if you should be turned on or maybe do the old Technicolor yawn. Know what I mean?
Or both at the same time. But as far as the whole cannibal craze of the 70s goes, this film was kind of late to dinner because...
Oh, I saw what you did there.
Because attentions and tastes were soon turned to zombies and other undead atrocities.
I saw what you did there, too.
And on that brain-chewing note... We shall call it indeed a show, my friends, but not before thanking our contributors to this 280th edition of the show, the grainy good gabber of 42nd Street Pete, and the flavorful ideification from Stuart Krug. Thanks as well to the cannibal-free assistance of our master of the meters, Milt Keynes.
A true slice of pie with a side of thigh, if you know what I mean.
I do indeed, but I wish I didn't.
You know, folks, before you head out to dine and dash, you can help us keep the cannibals away by subscribing to Fusebox on Patreon.
Really? Keep the cannibals away?
Well, not the sexy ones, bro.
Patreon.com, The Fusebox Show, will get you all signed up and get you a whole bunch of free swag just for joining. It's that easy. And you can also help us out by visiting the Fusebox Store at thefuseboxshow.com and punching the old swag tab at the top of the menu there. Get yourself a genuine Fusebox whiskey mug, Fusebox church flask, or maybe a sweet, sweet hat, hoodie, or t-shirt. Fusebox gear makes you feel good, look good, and smell good.
Just like cookies.
Fusebox Store is standing by and is always open for business. Big buckets of thanks as well to the fine folks at Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine for their continued goodwill. And remember not to forget that Grindhouse Releasing hits the road with the Grindhouse Roadshow coming to a city near you. So go to grindhousereleasing.com for all the details. And for our Portland listeners, tune in to the Fusebox YouTube channel, as well as our Facebook and Instagram pages for updated screenings throughout the month of July. And lastly, Let us now, of course...
Of course!
Thank all of our fabulicious friends out there who tune in and take this audio ride right along with us.
Like crash test dummies without seat belts or helmets.
Yes, it most certainly does seem that way, does it not?
It do.
But we do so appreciate your ears, your time...
Your patience.
And your indulgence, friends, because we surely could not, would not, nor won't, not can't, shouldn't be, a show without you or your ears. Thus, and so forth, and so on. I have been your opening a gluten-free food truck in Borneo host, Mark Rose, saying, until our next cartoon.
Where's Borneo? You know, I'm not sure, little bro. I think it's in Utah.
Idiots.
They sure are, Eco. They sure are.
Fuse.